Today I want to talk about the four elements of the meditation practice we do here. You know, we sit here and sometimes the question arises, you know, what am I doing just sitting? A lot is happening when we are sitting at the physical level and mental level. And fortunately, we now have scientific evidence because of the improvements in technology. So we can confidently say that when we are sitting, we are doing a lot. We really are. Those who meditate and through monitoring of their meditation practice over a period of time, they have found out that the cerebral cortex actually increases in size. It becomes thicker. And that's a profound thing, at least I feel, you know. Cerebral cortex is, it's the outermost layer of the brain, right? Mm-hmm. The outermost layer of the most incredible physical thing that there is, you know. And cerebral cortex is known as the crowning glory of physical evolution. Right? It's really true. You know, all the brain, the most advanced brain functions do happen in the cerebral cortex. You know?
It's what makes us human.
I think so. Intelligent species, it's what makes us. We actually are accelerating, I think, our evolution by increasing the thickness of the cerebral cortex. A study was done by Dr. Stanley? It was a military project, so it was a very well-known project. They actually used mindfulness and training for the military personnel. They called it MT, mindfulness training, to improve the working memory capacity. It's known as WMC, short-term memory. And they found out that those who went through the mindfulness training, MT, had much higher WMC than those who did not. So we are, through our practice, you know, just observing the breath, being mindful of it. We feel, what am I doing? You know, just sitting there, noticing something that is just entering and exiting the body. We are actually improving our working memory capacity. Even our memory retention power. So we are doing something. Focus. It's a big thing, right? Especially in everyday life. The practice of concentration. Ability to concentrate, or that practice of concentrating in one particular area, is also doing something very profound, you know? Through certain psychological tests, the scientists have found that there is a test called binocular rivalry test. What the scientists do is they will show horizontal lines to one eye, vertical lines to another eye, and find out how good you are at interpreting the data, you know. And because of the binocular rivalry, those who do not have that focusing capacity, they cannot stay with the data. But those who practice meditation can stay with the image. They don't lose their consciousness just because of the binocular rivalry, you know. If we don't have focus, the consciousness falls through the cracks. Yeah. Auto accident or whatever, you know, whatever mishaps that occur are really because of the consciousness falling through the crack, literally, you know. And so the practice of concentration minimizes that potential. Now we have evidence for it, right? I was recently reading another study on attention blink. You must have heard that word, attention blink. Because of our habit of discursive thinking, lack of concentration and focus, there's always this gap. Our consciousness, as if it blinks, you know, it, as if, like I said, falling through the crack, you know, and you lose the continuity of your attention. The scientists call it attention blink. And through the practice of concentration, we minimize that. We are able to maintain the continuity of our attention. So you don't lose out on anything, right? So there is no accident, there is less harm, you know? I mean, if I were to flip through my screen here, let's say I flip through this screen here, one screen, 10 seconds, okay? 10 seconds. I give you 10 seconds for each screen. It's easy to maintain your attention, right? It's easy to absorb what is going on, right? Because I'm giving you 10 seconds for each stimuli. But if I did this, what's going to happen? Okay? The consciousness is going to fall through the crack because of attention blink. What is happening is between these, when you see the screen, the mind is processing the data, right? It needs some time to process the data before it goes to the next screen. Next screen, next screen. When I give you 10 minutes, 10 seconds to process the data, then you're fine. You can process the data, task one, go on to the next task, two. You have 10 seconds, right? But what if I reduce that to 1 second? Because of that processing time required for task one, you will skip task two and again go to task three without being able to process task two. And that's where the accidents happen. And in today's day and life, we are working fast all the time. You know, you're working on computer, you're taking calls, you're driving, and thinking and emailing, all kinds of things we do all the time very fast, and to have that focus and to minimize that blink, the concentration practice comes handy, you know. Apparently, just sitting there, concentrating in one area, it facilitates proper resourcing of mental, proper allocation of mental resources. We not only allocate our mental resources properly to task one, but also are able to quickly move on to task two without losing out on it, process it fast, move on to task three. It's an incredible thing that happens. You know? So, if anybody wants to increase their speed, their efficiency, concentration is the practice, you know, to facilitate that and to avoid blinking of consciousness. So, we are doing something, right? In your sitting and concentrating. And then everybody is aware of relaxation response, right? It's a very well-known fact that meditation generates a relaxation response. It's a very well-known scientific fact. But there is actually a neurotransmitter that is fired which facilitates relaxation response, and that's how we overcome stress. So when you're sitting, you are overcoming your stress. You are eradicating stress, especially distress, for sure. The alpha wave rhythms, right? Those who meditate, they generate the alpha wave patterns, the brainwave patterns. So if I were to take your EEG while meditating, the EEG scan will show an alpha wave pattern and not the the beta. Is it beta? There are four types of brainwave patterns. One is beta, alpha, theta, and delta. And in general, we all kind of abide in that beta wave pattern. Just discursive thinking, overthinking. All the time, all our cylinders are turned on, you know, and we're constantly in that beta wave pattern, which is what is the cause of stress. So, when we are meditating, we are removing stress. So we are doing something, right? I feel we are doing a lot. What do you think?
I think we're doing a lot. Just it takes time to, if you're new at it, it takes time to notice the results.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, it's kind of like going to the gym. If you continue to work at it, you notice changes, but it doesn't happen the first few times.
Excellent.
It takes a couple months.
Excellent. You could consider meditation as mental weightlifting, you know, building up that mental muscle, you know. And we really begin to understand that when we oppose element of meditation, non-reaction. Incredible, in my opinion, you know. It really facilitates developing willpower, you know, emotional balance, emotional intelligence, right? We constantly react to pain and pleasure, happiness and sorrow, right? Constantly react to change because we get carried away by the event, because we get involved in what is happening, right? In our meditation, we learn not to do that, right? We allow the breath to come and go, not getting involved in the breath. We allow the thoughts to come and go, not getting carried away or getting involved in the thoughts. We allow the feelings to come and go and perceptions. And we haven't done all those meditations yet, but the idea is the same. And we will slowly delve into all those different types of meditations where we observe thoughts, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, states of consciousness, just like we observe the breath, you know. So by not reacting to what is happening at the matter and mind level, we are developing emotional balance, willpower.
I'm in a psychology class right now, and I have a final tomorrow, and I think everything you just spoke about is going to be on that final. I'm glad that I'm studying for my final right now. That's but it's all, you know, they were talking about, the, you know, the relaxation, the of course, the alpha and the delta waves, and every, the emotional intelligence. It's all going to be there.
Excellent. And then the fourth element, wise attention, you know. I asked you to contemplate today on the question, who is the breath taker? What is that is breathing? When we realize that it's the body that is breathing and not me, when we realize that the awareness of the breath was misunderstood as I, let me repeat that again. The awareness of the breath was misunderstood as the breath taker. The awareness of the thought is misunderstood as the thinker, I the thinker. The awareness of the feeling is misunderstood as I am the feeler. Because it is so intimate, it almost feels like I am feeling it. But it's just awareness. So we learn to be aware of awareness as awareness. It's a bit esoteric, but that's really the ultimate goal here, is to understand that it is awareness that is aware, not I. And what that does is liberates us from all attachments, physical, mental, all attachments. And that's what is called the development of intelligence, higher levels of intelligence. Just like non-reaction develops our emotional intelligence, right? We don't react to emotions, we allow them to arise and cease, right? That's emotional intelligence. And there are higher levels of intelligence, spiritual intelligence, soul intelligence, and that we derive from the practice of wise attention.
When I meditate, I try to not have attention, not do mindfulness, not do anything, but to let everything go and let everything get it away from me, to open me up to receive inner thoughts, inner peace, and not I don't know if I can get quiet, and get that peaceful feeling and get that one point, and then the feeling of peace and contentment coming up.
That's sure. What I like. In effect, you are doing meditation, what we are practicing. The only difference is I'm putting it in words, you know. I'm presenting it in a linguistically structured way so that it can be practiced by everyone in a uniform way. That's all I'm doing, is just putting it in words so that it can be conveyed to somebody and that somebody can practice it in the same way that I practice.
Well, we all have our own techniques. Mine's different from his.
Yeah.
I have to focus on, I picture an inner flame, and I focus on that inner flame and try to get my awareness onto the inner rather than the outer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. So the object is the flame,
yes,
rather than the breath.
Yes.
But the fundamentals are...
The breath. I start out with the breath. But then after a while, well, then it focuses on the flame.
Sure. Many different objects of meditation. We can change different from object to object in one meditation. And the ancient masters have actually listed 40 wholesome objects of meditation. So the fundamentals are still the same. Mindfulness, concentration, those are the fundamentals. There are many different types of meditations, many different objectives of meditation, but ultimately, in my opinion, meditation is the practice of developing higher levels of intelligence. It's the phenomenon by which we cultivate wisdom, understanding.